Welcome to Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. So much ground to cover today, and because it is summertime, it's dealer's choice. We can do what we like with the show because there is baseball, basketball, and football happening right now. Different showcases. You've got seven on sevens. You've got commitments in all of those major sports and our other sports, our Olympic sports as well, and news that continues to trickle out. And we're going to do a lot, cover a lot of ground on today's show because we're going to go over some of our can't-miss football games for the first month of the season. We want you to be a part of that in the chat box. And we want you to, as the season goes on, let us know what games you're going to because we've got an announcement about fourquarterfriday.com. We've got a solid date that we want to share with you. But before we do all that, we turn our attention to our basketball expert. I'm Matt Smith. That is the heartthrob, Rob Williams, 6'3", bringing it from the wing. He's got a lot of basketball news to share with us from the HD Law Studios. Rob, good morning. I know that you love all sports, but it's kind of special when you see off-season hoops and you get some insight with coaches or players and you get to bring it to us because that's your thing, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be here. First of all, a little ASMR for everybody this morning. I'm going to bring down the tones, Smitty.
You said
summer is dealer's choice. Summer is also the time of traveling. So we have some interesting locations. Luckily, we have virtual backgrounds, but you never know where we are, Smitty. And today, I'm in a brand new office building where only a desk and a chair reside. So a little bit of an echo. Apologies for that. Anybody listening, especially if you're on podcast, we'll get that fixed for next week. And actually, I'll be on the road next week as well. So we're just gonna play it by ear in terms of location. But you're right. Summer's here, and that means we can bounce around. Basketball is a lot of fun for me specifically, as it is the sport that I played. When we look at, obviously, the 2027 class, we talked about Colt Fowler last week. But I'm turning my attention now, Smitty, a little bit to these 2028s as they came online June 15th earlier this week. They are now officially recruitable. And you start to kind of say, all right, let's survey a little bit here. Five top 100 prospects in the class of 2028 are from the state of South Carolina. Four of them are still here. One from Anderson and Tamaje Jenkins, I believe is his last name, is at DME, but from Anderson originally, was a Westside High School product. But the number one player in the state of South Carolina is Anton Kaufman at Keenan. I met with Keenan last week, actually, and got a chance to talk with this team and kind of pick their brains on where they're going this summer and how things are shaping up, Smitty. And Kaufman, 6'5", 170 shooting guard. They have a lot of talent over there for Coach Zach Norris. And then you kind of see the Ridgeview studs start to show.
Hold on. Didn't Keenan have like a 28-game win streak at some point this year? Haven't they won like – they're like 50-2, right, in the last 2 years? Something wild.
They've been really, really good, and they're typically good under Coach Norris. They had a little bit of a snag in the playoffs last year. Fox Creek got them in the regular season and then again in the state playoffs, and Fox Creek ultimately went on to play in that state championship game. But yes, there's a lot of history at Keenan, right? They've had a lot of success on the basketball court. Coach Norris has won his fair share of state championships. He's got guys that have played in the NBA. That is a basketball school. When I think about colleges, Smitty, you're going to say like, well, which schools are your basketball schools? Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, traditionally Indiana, but here we are, right? So you have these schools that stand out in your mind. Sometimes high school fans, I don't know if we make that delineation as much, but that's definitely the case. And it's going to be, I predict in the era of the high school portal, this is going to become more and more of the case where we look at a school and say, that's a football school, that's a baseball school, that's a basketball school. I see us trending in that direction. Keenan, a basketball school, and another one that you would say for sure is Ridgeview. I don't know if 7 out of 9 state championships qualifies them as a basketball school, but I don't know what else does if that doesn't get it done. In 2028, they have C.J. Moore, 6'7", 180.
Hold on. When I ask you, what do you have Gray? Gray's going to have a fight, right? Football versus basketball.
Yeah, they are. And you know what? Honestly, Smitty, I'm throwing both of them out, and I'm calling Gray a softball school. If we really want to narrow it down to one sport, you talk about an undefeated season. You talk about stacking state championships. What they've been able to do on the softball field at Gray Collegiate, that's where I would go there. But you're right. Strong on the football field. We've seen them this summer in basketball. They're going to be a force. Okay. They defeated, Gray Collegiate defeated Burns last week in the South Carolina boys live period, 53-49, I believe was the final over there. And, so highly competitive. We know what Burns has. We talked about Colt Fowler and the cast. It's not just him. It's a group around him. And Burns went down to Ridgeview last year, I mentioned C.J. Moore. They also have R.J. Davis as the number 4 player in the state, 6'6", shooting guard. And then sandwiched between those two players is Caleb Allen, who's at Christchurch now, transferred from T.L. Hanna. So you have these top players in the state that are top 100 players in the country. Smitty, these are not just when I'm talking top players in South Carolina. We're not just talking about here they are in our state and they stand out against the competition around them. No, they stand out against the competition nationally. Top 100 players are our top 100 players. Antoine Kaufman is the top player in South Carolina. He's ranked one spot ahead of Kenston Knippel. Does Knippel ring a bell? Does anybody know who that? That would be Con Knippel's little brother. Okay, so there's a significant reason to pay attention to the 2028s in South Carolina. And, you look at the in-state schools and what they may be able to do with that. I think that when you talk about recruiting, I will be interested to see, Smitty, what specifically Clemson and South Carolina do with these in-state prospects. We've said recently that this looks like a baseball state when we talk about the depth of talent across the board. We know what football brings to the table, but historically, when you look at pro prospects or even players that have escaped the state and been significantly successful at the college level, basketball has a great argument to be one that rules this state as well. And you're going to see that again with the 2028 class.
Right. And I think the reason that gets lost somewhat is because of what you mentioned. And look, basketball has always been different. Basketball recruiting has always been different because you even grew up with this. So much of the camps and then the academies. I mean, so many of the guys that we talk about that we love to brag on that we might have seen. I got to see Kevin Garnett at Malden, but he didn't play his last 2 years in our state.
Right.
And there are a lot of stories like that where guys that kind of got out of the state or for one reason or another, they never considered staying in the state to play collegiately. And so it's kind of like you lose the thread a little bit when you talk about how many great players that we have produced because of just where they go, like Jermaine O'Neal, right to the NBA,
Exactly.
But you could have seen him play high school ball right here in this state at Eau Claire. And then, what can you do if the guys go to LSU and North Carolina like Raymond Felton and all over the place? Got Devin Downey back in the state. And he went away to Cincinnati, but got him back in the state. But basketball's always been different. Everybody recruits across the country in basketball, meaning all the blue-blooded programs. And so it is rare that you get a pipeline in-state, no matter where it is. Even like North Carolina doesn't – it's like they're not built on North Carolina players. They recruit nationally. So – it's just a different kind of sport. It's something you experienced and something you're experiencing now. But it's always fun for us, especially now that you see, we've got some great programs in the state, not just at South Carolina and Clemson, but great programs in the state, opportunities for kids to play. And then we get to continue to watch them play. But it's also, that it's flattering for these players when they come in and they start hearing from a string of ACC schools and they know that those guys are coming to their high school gym to see them play. So I never blame a kid for having his head turned a little bit when, NC State's here. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool for these players.
No doubt about it. And you think about Smitty, up until recently with Steph Curry's run over the past decade, who was arguably the greatest shooter of all time? Well, that would be Ray Allen. There's another one from the state of South Carolina. More recently, though, Zion Williamson obviously made waves with what he did at Duke. But the argument that I would make in recent history that you cannot have happen if you are state of South Carolina schools is a guy like Ja Morant escaping your state. Goes to Murray State and then goes on to have great NBA success out of Crestwood in Sumter. So keep an eye on some of these kids. Like
that is what I always argue about. It's not the argument that I make when I say that I want kids to at least not kids to consider in state. I shouldn't put it like that. I want the in-state schools to consider the kids. That's what it is. I don't like it when players that have great talent leave the state not because they didn't want to stay in state. It's because the state schools overlooked them. They were overlooked, and then they leave the state, and then everybody is left that saw them play in high school, watches them go on to great success, and wonder what could have been had they made an impact inside the state at the college level, like often they wanted to do. Now, everybody chooses their own path. And if you so believe, God opens these doors. And it is, and like Ja Morant would probably tell you, hey, that's the way it worked out for me. And I'm blessed. I was blessed that it worked that way for me. I mean, I'm sure a lot of players would feel that way. But I want to remind our in-state coaches and in-state scouts that it's not so much that all of these players want to leave the state. It's sometimes they feel like they're not overlooked. They're not recruited. They're not looked upon as good enough to play at the schools here in our state. And then they leave and they go make an impact elsewhere. And I think for those of us that got to see them play in person, like you're talking about, that's the part that stings a little bit. You say, man, that guy could have been a ball. Like you mentioned Steph Curry. I know that story so well because I brought it up for years. I know that one that, Virginia Tech told him, we'll give you a preferred walk-on because your dad played here. We'll do that for you. We'll do you this favor. And he had to go, and he said that Coach Davidson Bob McKillop at Davidson was like the only coach that really wanted him. The only one that really, really wanted him. And that's the part I think that is a shame is where you want to go overlooks you. And so that's just a reminder. And you talked about him, Ray Allen, who was it that went to LSU in the 90s too? From our state, we had a big time player leave and go to LSU. But anyway, there's many, and Jermaine O'Neal didn't go to college.
I'll just one more time highlight these so that we don't leave anybody out. I mentioned Kaufman, Moore, Allen, and Davis, the top four. JJ Gray is the number five player in the state at Carolina Forest. Ricky Hood at Greer is the number six player, 176 nationally. And then Zion Jones is in the top 200. He's the number seven player in the state. And he's the center at Keenan. So Keenan lands two of the top seven players in the state in the class of 2028. You talk about schools to watch. Ridgeview shows up on this list twice, and Keenan shows up on this list twice. Both of those schools are in the Midlands, and if you can get out to watch either of them play basketball, you're going to be able to see a squad in either direction, Smitty. So we're going to continue to monitor these prospects and watch as their recruitment really gets going here in the summer of 2026 to get ready for their eventual graduations in 2028.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. Keenan has only lost two region games in the last two seasons. And so Fox Creek got them one time. And they had a big year as well. So that's a game you wouldn't want to miss, right? You want to be in that gym next time.
It's tight. It's a highly competitive matchup when those two teams are going against each other. And you can kind of pick up on the coaching chatter. This is normal across any state, especially with familiar foes, but they know each other well. So you're nitpicking a little bit to find like, hey, where's this weakness that we're going to expose? Because they know each other's strengths and weaknesses pretty well because they see each other often. and they know they're going to see each other again when the postseason comes around.
Xavier McDaniel also left the state years ago to go to Wichita State.
Yeah, we just keep adding to the list, Smitty.
I'm just thinking about some of the guys that the ones that got away, you know.
Absolutely.
but anyway, all right, so that lays out what we know about basketball right now. And what's cool is, so those guys that you're talking about, some of that group, if I've got that right, those are 2028.
That's correct.
So that means we've got two seasons with them?
We have two seasons with them, that, unless they reclass for whatever reason. I have no
that could happen.
No reason to believe that on any of them specifically. So, yeah, you should have two seasons.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So we get more Keenan and Burns and Ridgeview and all these guys that we're going to see in the next couple of years and just stacked with players. And you saw how competitive it was in the playoffs last year. It's not like anybody's running away from anyone else when you get to the final four, six, eight teams in our state.
No, the only one that really ran away is Ridgeview with the stack that they absolutely have.
Right, but they got hot. That was the Ridgeview not only is probably the most talented team, they also got hot because they had lost earlier in the season, and then that shook them up, and all credit to them. Do you remember who Ridgeview lost to?
Earlier in the year, I don't, but I do know.
Middle of the year? I'll look it up.
I do know that they only beat state champion in the 1A level, I believe. Isn't that 1A? This is great. This is fantastic radio right now. Both of us researching.
We're thinking of the game against C.A. Johnson early in the year. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I was trying to find the score.
Okay.
As I fumbled through my work.
Yeah, they beat C.A. Johnson 72-71. Yeah. Early in the year, like in December.
You saved me, Smitty. I appreciate it.
And no, I remember we were covering this because that was so eye-popping for us and how good C.A. Johnson was. And of course, I had to track them the rest of the year and what they did. And I'm trying to find the game that I'm thinking of. I just want to make sure we give credit. It was Westwood beat, and you know that stung. Right, you know that stung. So Westwood,
and you know you just mentioned three state championship teams: NCAA, okay. Johnson, Westwood, and Ridgeview. They all finished it off. Yeah,
right. So when you were, so that's what you get to see when you get to, if you pay attention. And this is one of the things we're going to help you with, and this is why we're excited about the website. It's fourquarterfriday.com. We'll talk about that in the next segment too. But why we're excited about that is because we can help you pinpoint these games a couple weeks out. You could say, hey, I can drive an hour and catch that. So it's an opportunity to see things like C.A. Johnson or Keenan or Ridgeview or Westwood or Burns or any of these big-time teams. And sometimes they're in the same gym with each other. Sometimes, you know, they're going to be at a part of a classic, in a tournament. You could see that. You can go see all of these high-level prospects, big-time state championship contending teams, you can go catch that all, as I always point out, like 10 bucks or less. You can see all of this and be like a scout. And it's so much fun. And that's what we'll help you do. And we're going to help you do that with football. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to glance at the first month of the high school football season here in our state. And Rob knows a lot about these teams already because he's been right there. He's been on the grass with them. In most cases, the turf with them, and watching these players either in 7-on-7s or just kind of doing the helmets and shells thing. But some of these players we know from last year, and some of these players are up and coming. And this is another opportunity. We're going to talk to you about some of the big time can't miss games in the Palmetto State. And in many cases, you're going to see Power 4 football players because they've already made their commitment. They already know where they're going. And a lot of these games we're going to talk about on both sides of the line, you're going to have players competing against each other that are going to be at ACC or SEC schools. I mean, that's just the way it is in our state. And as a matter of fact, I'll give you one just one night here in our state coming up. We'll reveal which night it is, but this is your, these are your choices. Dorman at Gaffney, Sumter at Crestwood, Somerville at Berkeley, South Point at Rock Hill, James Island at Gray Collegiate, Daniel at Greenville, BHP at Abbeville, all on the same night in the first month of the season. We'll tell you which night that is when we come back. This is Four Quarter Friday. Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith and Rob Williams. We keep teasing it. FourQuarterFriday.com is on the way, so we're going to have somewhere to share with you some place that we can stay with you all week long, and you can bring us information, and we can share what we know with you, what we're seeing, and that's why Rob has been on the tour. He has been burning up the roads. He's saving his receipts for the gas mileage, and he has been putting his feet right there on the grass so he can see a lot of these teams and players. And Rob and I thought it'd be really cool to go over the first month of the high school season. Now, look, a lot of schedules aren't settled yet, so we don't know every game, but we know enough that he and I can look ahead and help share with you, hey, if you live – say, if you live in the Charleston area, there's a game to go to. If you don't have a team that you absolutely are a part of there, you know, in the stands every week with them, that's okay. There's plenty in the Charleston area. If you live in the Midlands, we've got some for you. You live in the upstate or you live in Football City, USA. Trust me, you won't have to drive more than 20 minutes to catch a game every week where you're going to see big-time players that are committed or being recruited by Power 4 programs. And it's not just that. We've actually got some players in our state. I know we've got some East Carolina commits that I'm excited about watching. So it's not just the Power 4 players, but the players that are going to some of those Group of 5 schools as well. And then of course, all that's going to get filled in later. You're going to get more and more players that are going to Furman or the Citadel or Wofford or anywhere else that we're going to get to see this year on the football field. So, Rob, we'll go kind of, you know, early in the season, but I mentioned that one week of I listed all of those games. All of those games are going to be taking place on September 11th. Dorman at Gaffney, Sumter at Crestwood, Somerville at Berkeley, South Point at Rock Hill, James Island at Gray Collegiate, Daniel at Greenville in a famous setting. BHP at Abbeville. Are you kidding? That's Friday Night Lights right there, small town USA. All of those games are taking place September 11th. So when you look at that, where do you want to be? Which, by the way, we know that date, obviously on that night, there's going to be presentations and it will be solemn prior to kickoff. And then we'll turn our attention to what our state does best, which is get after it. But when you look at that, when I throw those games out to you, which one you say, all right, man, I got to be there?
This is really tough. I think the thing that I love most about this, Smitty, as you roll through that, is there's a game for everybody here, no matter where you are in the state of South Carolina. We covered every region just right there in that week. There is a marquee matchup, not just a game. There's a marquee matchup in every region of the state on September 11th, and that's how it is most weeks in South Carolina football. You know, there's probably three that really jump off to me here that I'm choosing between. Dorman at Gaffney is going to be one that I'm paying attention to. We've looked at the rosters for both of those teams. We've had a little bit of movement, especially in the high school portal. I know Gaffney has picked up a couple of prospects or a couple of players over there. So I'm looking at that one a little bit. Sumter at Crestwood sticks out to me. I've been on the campus of both of those schools. I've seen both of them. And you talk about running the football. You know, we know what Sumter does traditionally. Drew Marlowe is back. We're going to see what he can do. But Crestwood, Smitty, senior running back Calvin Wofford's committed to Charlotte. And then sophomore running back Braden Bolts has 37 offers and every D1 school that you can imagine. So between the two of them, you know, Calvin Wofford was a 1,000-yard-plus back last year as a junior. He's coming back for his senior year. And then you have Bolts coming up behind him. So that's a 1-2 punch that you don't want to miss when you look at that matchup. And then the other one that just really jumps to me is South Point at Rock Hill, because when you look at South Point, they won the state championship last year. You take Jazavian Currents off of that roster and you now are replacing the quarterback and the safety because he was playing both ways. But Leon Bulwer, who we had on, is back at Rock Hill and ready to revive the program. And you have a lot of movement. We got Caden Watkins over there, but he's not the only one on that defense that is really stout for Rock Hill. You know, my thing is, Smitty, there's been some movement in the portal between South Point, Northwestern, Rock Hill, just kind of some mixing and matching of players over there. Really interested to see how that shakes out and the ascension that Rock Hill is on. Can they jump up and reestablish their place in football city USA, or can they, or is South Point going to kind of hold them down for another year? We'll see. 11 delivers across the board.
I look right. We had Leon Bulware on, and you can find our interviews if you go back. You know, that's why we want you to obviously subscribe, get notified here. And it's not just this show, Four Quarter Friday, but also Rob does a tremendous job with the Morning Minute. You get something on that every day. So we're just going to be churning out information. But, yeah, we had Leon Bulware on, and he was awesome. And I love Caden Watkins. I joked about it with Coach Bulware in there. Caden Watkins, man, if you go to his Coach Bulware said, man, if you go to a family reunion with Caden Watkins, bring your pen because you get autographs. Because his uncle is Jonathan Hefney, and his father was Tony Watkins, famed safety at South Carolina. Jonathan Hefney, big-time player at Tennessee and then on to the NFL. But Caden Watkins is not the only great player at Rock Hill. He's getting some of the attention right now, but Coach Bulware said, don't worry about it. There's plenty of them back there on that back end. So South Point will have its hands full. I think Rock Hill will be improved this coming year. And, of course, South Point is reloading. So I love that game. That might be the one I choose. Only because I want to experience it. And see, this is like a personal thing. I've been to Dorman Gaffney many times.
Sure.
Many, many times. And it never disappoints. So that's one I certainly would recommend. I love the Somerville-Berkeley matchup. Both those teams went all the way to the lower state championships last year in their respective divisions. So you know they're looking to – and you know the pride there. Stags, Green Wave, you know the pride. And, of course, that's a game where they don't like each other. So that's going to be cool. And also, man, it really catches my attention. James Island and Gray Collegiate. Daniel at Greenville, I love, you know, the setting for that. You know, the big-time setting for that. And, of course, you know, Daniel doesn't like, you know, the big city of Greenville right over the way. Daniel's got some players as well that are being recruited highly. I know they've got a player on the way to Clemson, and Clemson's done well getting Daniel players in the past. That's worked out for them usually.
No doubt about it. They've got a couple of guys, I believe, headed over there. And then we talked about the offensive lineman that they have that's committed to Army as well. So, you know, you have some toughness there. When we had Daniel coach Chris Stone on with us just a few weeks ago as well, Smitty, it's loaded up. And you look at this 2027 class, there are quite a few prospects that really stand out to me. When we look at these teams, we mentioned Caden Watkins. That whole area of Football City USA is pretty full, right? Seth Tillman at South Point is a top player in the state. And then you have Xavier Means and Malik Ratliff, quarterback and receiver at Northwestern. We know that Means just committed to East Carolina this week, and Ratliff is a recruit that I've really been watching. He's a receiver, but he's also starting to get a couple of looks at DB, so we'll keep an eye on that and figure out where he's going there. Just to kind of make our way around, I want to cherry pick a few. There's some kids that we've talked about and maybe some that we haven't as much here. If you look at the Midlands, you talk about some of those matchups with Gray Collegiate, but the two schools that are going to be really pumping it out, Irmo is absolutely loaded. Smitty, loaded. When you know about Jaden Bryant, you know about Nate Carson. Most recently, you've probably heard about Ty Phillips, the running back committed to Alabama. But I want to point out Ethan Singletary, a very smooth, long, kind of wiry wide receiver, just committed to East Carolina. Watch out for Singletary. He is fast, and he moves really, really well. He's going to be a weapon for them on the outside. And then you move over to Dutch Fork, where former Irmo wide receivers Malik Miller and Corey Miller are both now playing for the Silver Foxes. And Malik is a senior and going to be one of their top threats. And for sure, they also got a couple of transfers in from AC Flora, one of whom is Peyton Bishop, a defensive end, dealing with a little bit of turf toe right now. But he's still figuring out what that's going to be I know he told Sports Talk top of his list is Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Virginia, and Kentucky. Looking to see kind of where he ends up landing in that recruiting process. Jackson Ross at Hammond is making an announcement here pretty soon, July 9th, which is his birthday. This one's down to South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Texas Tech. I think it's more of a two-way battle between the Red Raiders and the Gamecocks there, Smitty. So you look at the Midlands, you look at Football City USA, you kind of mentioned. And then you can look at the Low Country. Oceanside got a couple of receivers that are Power 4 commits. Mm-hmm. Amari Patterson at Bluffton is going to commit here this tomorrow. I would probably look for the Tar Heels to take that one. That's just my prediction today. And then you can kind of look in the upstate. We know about Spartanburg County. You mentioned the Daniel guys. West Side has always got a few. Tajay Watson, another top receiver out of the state, committed to UVA. But let me just say this. I know we've talked about him a lot. Trenton Lynch at Spartanburg is another running back committed to Rutgers. Rutgers also has Dennis Lynn Jr. from Bowling Springs. But Burns has four prospects that you should be looking at. Just like I said earlier with Irmo, Burns has Trey Sagara, who everybody knows just committed to LSU. Aiden Wiggins is committed to Auburn. He's a corner. Chu Harris is committed to Syracuse, a receiver. But the one that we need to pay attention to here, Smitty, is in the year of the running back 2027, the guy behind Trey Sagara would start at most places. That's Jacoby Fuller. Okay, so another one to pay attention to, as he is definitely a G5 guy, if not breaking into that Power 4 level as well, maybe an ACC school or something like that. So we'll continue to watch his recruitment as he and Sagara are the same age. So he's going into his senior year as well, and they have a 1-2 punch that will knock you down. So watch out for that. I know Fuller played a little injured last year and still put up insane numbers. So look for him to really be not just a compliment to Sagara, but they really are a 1-2, and you're in trouble with either one of them.
That's incredible. Jacoby Fuller?
That's correct.
Man. All right. This is what we're talking about. So let me go back on the calendar a little bit. So early in the year, I think you got clubs playing week zero, and that's going to be August 21st. I think that's all getting settled. I think it will start the 21st. But on August 28th, Dorman is at Burns. Dorman, you know they're going to be talented. But at Burns, just what you talked about, Sagara, Wiggins, Harris, Fuller, all guys to watch for, and they're all going to be on the same field there together. Playing for the Rebels this coming year. And you'll find out right away a lot about Dorman and Burns right there, August 28th. That same week, Dutch Fork is playing at Ridgeview, Northwestern at Indian Land. How about, you know, you talked earlier about baseball schools, football schools, basketball schools. How about athletics at Indian Land? Obviously, what they've been doing under Coach Bagwell at on the baseball diamond, but Indian Land went all the way to the upper state championship last year and played against Northwestern for the 5A D2 upper state championship. And Northwestern kind of rolled in that game. But this is an area of Indian Land where it's growing. It's just growing as a community. It's growing as a school, and it's growing its athletic department. And they're having a lot of success across the board. So that might be a big time atmosphere, because now Northwestern's, you know, big bad bully, obviously state champions last year. Everybody in Indian Land knows all about Northwestern football history. But Indian Land gets them in their house next year, August 28th. Watch out for that atmosphere. I think the fans are going to bring it that night.
Yeah, you know, you made a great point about Indian Land as an athletic department, and we're going to take a look at this over the summer, and we're going to take a look at it on fourquarterfriday.com. Smitty, coming up very, very soon here in the next couple of weeks. As you mentioned earlier, we do have a date set and ready for that, and it's going to give us an opportunity to look at not just individual teams, but athletic departments as a whole. Indian Land definitely makes that list. Who is it, Smitty, that is going to take the top spot as the number one athletic department in the state of South Carolina over the past year? Well, you'll just have to join us at fourquarterfriday.com to find that one out, right?
Right. They give out a commissioner's cup, so we're going to have to come up with a name for it.
That's it. Hey, you know,
it's going to be like the Four Quarter Friday koozie.
Speaking of schools that have had a lot of success, I'll jump over here to the chat box as our friend Meredith Taylor, Meredith McKellar is in the box here. Shout out to Merritt Wham of River Bluff for winning the South Carolina Junior Golf Tournament yesterday. We shouted out Brady Sin last week. Now the girls are playing, Smitty, and there you go. There you have it.
Merritt another Wham pretty good River Bluff. Another pretty good athletic department.
Yeah, my point. Yeah, exactly. Timely. Thank you, Meredith.
Yes.
Throw that in there just in time to highlight River Bluff. Yeah, there's a handful, right, of these athletic departments that are really excelling. You know, the thing for me here is we can talk about individual players, and there are plenty, and their success. And you said it before, from a recruiting standpoint, you've got every level covered when you look at the state of South Carolina in terms of talent they're putting out. We'll just talk football here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see it in the Power Four. You're going to see it at the Group of Five. You're going to see it at FCS. You're going to see it at D2. They're going to be covered with South Carolina players, and we're going to do our best to get to everybody as we work our way through the fall. Individual players and recruiting is one discussion, Smitty. But the other side of it is what you mentioned with this schedule, and we know that a lot of our fans out there, not fans of our show, fans of high school football in the state of South Carolina, want to talk about the matchups, because sometimes it's not about an individual player. Sometimes it's not about on the football field who has the best player. Occasionally, one player can make a big difference, but it's not like basketball. It's more about the team as a whole. And just because you have one guy doesn't mean that you're going to be able to do it all. I'll say this here, and then I'll let you comment on some more of the schedule and who we think is going to provide the best matchups, best teams that we're looking at here across high school football. Our friend Blake Queen says he's making a stand for Landrum in terms of athletic departments.
Okay. I know all about Landrum.
They did a deep run in the baseball playoffs. Always good track and field team as well. And football is whatever, he says. All right, so that state championship.
Hey, tough region.
York basketball really got them onto the map in terms of an athletic department, though.
Yeah, tough region. But shout out to my man Brian Green, former 1A state player of the year back in the day from Landrum. But, yeah, I know all about the Landrum Cardinals. Love going all the way up there to exit one, man, and taking in a game. And great baseball tradition at Landrum as well. Yeah, I love that. We'll have that debate. All right, let me go over these week one games, Rob, because you and I are going to have to come up with a schedule, like where we're going to be.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah,
so this is all right, so August 28th. Now, so everybody knows the background. And we're going to get some help on this. But Rob right now is living in the Midlands, but he's kind of like tilted Midlands to upstate. Okay. So he can, you know, 26, not bad for him. And I'm down here on the coast. Living between Myrtle Beach and Charleston. And I've lived in Charleston. I've lived in Myrtle Beach. So to me, it's one of those things. It's like when you know the stadiums and you know the area so well. By the way, I know the upstate real well. I went to Dorman and covered sports up there for many years. So it's nothing for me to get in the car and just I don't need the GPS. Just set it right there, and I'm on my way to, you know, Spartan High, Dorman, Gaffney, Boiling Springs, all it burns. But so you understand, Rob is like tilted that way. I'm tilted this way, and I can get to all these. So when we discuss these, some of this might be legit, like we're kind of flirting with these games. But like Rob and I might say that's actually where I'm going to be August
28th. Yeah, no doubt. No.
All right, so August 28th, you've got Dorman Burns. So tell me where you're going to be. We'll play this. We're recording right now. Dorman at Burns, Dutch Fork at Ridgeview, which is close by for you, Northwestern at Indian Land, White Knoll at Sumter. Put White Knoll in there, okay? And you want to be at games at Sumter. That's just the way it is. You can't get a better atmosphere. You know, get a barbecue sandwich nearby and get to a game at Sumter. South Florence at James Island. This is a stacked week, too. South Florence at James Island. I put this one on there, and I said, give me the over in our notes. So the Bruins of South Florence averaged 41.6 points per game in the playoffs. That's the playoffs. It's the best competition. The James Island Trojans went over 40 points 8 times last year, and they want to do it again. We talked to their coach. That's what they want to do. So that game could be 44-41. South Florence at James Island, and not a bad place to visit, right? The traffic, you know, it's going to be tough getting in there, but that's a beautiful place to be. Dillon at Myrtle Beach and Strom Thurmond defending 2A state champs at one of the toughest places to play, one of the tough venues at Abbeville, the A. So where, if I throw it out to you, Rob, where are you going to be August 28th?
Well, I'm going to say this. There will be a week when I go to Strom Thurmond. I visited them earlier this year on the tour. And being a guy who used to live in Edgefield, South Carolina, and working over there and being around that atmosphere, they have made some significant upgrades to what was already a, you know, heartbeat of South Carolina football type of town. You talk about small towns in the state of South Carolina. They've put in a new Jumbotron. They've got the flashing lights. It's quite the scene over there, and I've not experienced it, so I'm intrigued. So I will get over there at some point. You mentioned Dutch Fork at Ridgeview is right there, pretty much in my backyard. And you look at Ridgeview. I was just there a few weeks ago with so much athleticism. Dutch Fork obviously is loaded year after year. Yeah, I think for me, Smitty, you know, in terms of the teams that we have looked at over the course of the spring, that Dorman Burns matchup is tough to turn down. At Burns, you know, this is another year in the new Nixon Field. Turned it 90 degrees, brand new turf. It's beautiful up there. They got a little South Carolina flavor, a little Clemson flavor in the entrance. Up there at Burns. So we shall, that if I had to pin it right now, that's going to be where I'm at. We've talked about the talent on the Dorman roster. You got a couple of offensive linemen that we really need to watch. Nick Means at the running back position is really good. You got some linebackers there. Oh, and by the way, Carter Nash, time and time again, right? There is talent with Dorman to make a run this year, you know, and that's most years, but I think that they have some growing and emerging talent. Not only in the 2027 class, but they're going to have some younger guys that are going to really step into big roles this year. For Burns, it's that senior class that is just, you know, they've got some younger guys that are going to do some things, but that senior class has really got something at the top, and they're gunning for a deep, deep run while they've got those guys. So it'll be a statement. New regions, Smitty. We have new regions in 2026. So
yeah, that's another thing.
That's why this game is so early. You know, you don't normally get Dorman Burns right off the rip, but that's a rivalry that they're not going to let go of. So this game feels a little different this year. It's not a region decider, as Burns is now aligned in a region with a lot of the Greenville County schools.
No, I tell you what I think it does is that's an early barometer for those teams. Dorman and Burns, and then what you get is the whole time you're thinking they could meet and get in the playoffs the whole rest of the season. Now that's on your mind because they're no longer in the same region and you want to see them play. I'm going to go, it's going to be a drive for me. So I might have to do like, I take the wife to IKEA in Charlotte, you know, drop her off for the day. I'm going to go Northwestern at Indian Land. I just think the atmosphere first of all, Northwestern fans are going to travel. But then you have Indian Land, and I think that whole town is going to say, this is it. This is our moment. This is where we prove ourselves. And I think the intensity is going to be there. The friction in the stands is going to be there. I think it will be palpable. I think that is one of the all-time atmospheres coming up, and I think it's happening early because of the history of Indian Land just growing, knowing all this time what Northwestern is. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people. They know some people from Northwestern, and it's a rematch from last year's playoffs, and they get it going early. And I just think it's going to mean so much to that Indian Land community. And I don't think they fall behind early. I think those kids are going to fight back. I don't think they want to be embarrassed by Northwestern as good as they are, as stacked as they have been in recent years. And Indian Land's no slouch. All right, let's do one more. Let's do one more, and then we'll take our final break. The next week, the very next week, here's the lineup in high school football in our state. Dutch Fork at Spartan High. As you said, you know, I mean, I don't know how many D1 prospects are on the field. Dutch Fork at Spartan High. Two great coaches, matching wits in that one. West Florence at Sumter. T.L. Hanna at White Knoll and Clinton and at Newberry, which is probably going to be my pick.
Ooh. Yeah, this one is, you know, I don't want to miss an opportunity to see Sumter. So I'm very intrigued by that one. You know, and going to Spartanburg County 2 weeks in a row is also intriguing to me. It could be, I could work that to my advantage. And, you know, Dutch Fork, we just mentioned the lineup of prospects that are there, Smitty. But I think if I'm choosing here, I'm probably headed over to Sumter to see what the Gamecocks look like under the new leadership of Drew Marlowe. Back in Sumter, and Franklin Richardson and company going to get out there,
yeah,
and establish themselves early against a West Florence team that is going to battle as well. So I think that you have a matchup there that I think long term will tell us a lot about where these teams are going to be.
And by the way,
that's what I want to see with Sumter early is like, where do they fit in the landscape of a state championship in the state this year? No doubt that Marlowe's going to have them at a highly competitive level, especially long term. But early in year one, how ready are they to get out there and go after it?
Yes. Yeah, so now what you've done is you've given Drew Marlowe a gadget, right? Drew Marlowe now has Franklin Richardson.
Yep.
Drew Marlowe, big-time offensive mind. No one doubts it. And he was at South Florence. Well, who's he hosting on September 4th? West Florence. Think there's not any friction there?
Probably.
Think
a little
those
bit.
People don't know that? They know that. West Florence is going to know that as they're out there meeting, like in the field house. It might be the last thing they say before they come out on the field at Sumter September 4th. I'm going to be at Clinton Newberry. I didn't get to see Clinton football play last year when they were on their run. We talked about him. We talked about that town so much when they won their state championship on the walk-off home run this year. And they're at Newberry just down the street. That's big time. I think that's going to be a big time. Too good. They're both going to be good this year. I'd love to be there. You talk about a group of people where everybody knows each other. People from Clinton know everybody from Newberry and vice versa. And they're going to get it going on the field. And that, to me, that's a lot of fun. Kind of harkens back to the old Newberry PC rivalry too. Kind of a mini version of that. We'll take our final break. When we come back, we will reveal to you some news. We know we have talked a lot about fourquarterfriday.com and been excited about it. And we hope you're excited. And now, let's put a name on it. Let's put a number on it. We'll reveal the date that the website is coming when we come back next. Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday final segment. We've gone over some of the early games that we're looking forward to. Can't miss opportunities in high school football. Rob Williams has told you all about the elite players that are going to be on the hardwood for the next two seasons coming up for us in the state of South Carolina. All this information and more is going to be at Four Quarter Friday in written, in video, in visual form for you just to bookmark and to have and to own and be a part of it. And that will be launched on July 1st. We have confirmation. It is exciting. It is stressful for me and Rob because we've got a lot of work to do now. But for you, it means that you can just sit back, pop open the webpage, fourquarterfriday.com, surf around and get all kinds of great information and everything that Rob and I are going to get from the coaches and athletic directors and information about players. All of that we're going to spill onto the pages at fourquarterfriday.com, and there'll be plenty of opportunities for your voice to be heard as well with a message board, and you can reach out to us, and it's going to be one of those opportunities we've got to bring more to the community of this state, because it's going to fill a need. Both Rob and I know everywhere we go, people talk to us. They don't like high school sports in this state. They love it. They live it. They breathe it. They know people who have kids who are playing. It is so important. And the more Rob and I learn and follow these teams, the more we get hooked. and love it. And we can't be everywhere, but that's going to be the goal. FourQuarterFriday.com is going to try to do it all. And Rob, I'm pumped. You're pumped. But as soon as we get off the air here, it's like I got to start doing work because July 1st is going to happen fast.
Well, here's the thing, Smitty. It is going to happen fast, and I'll say this before we get off the air. Here in the chat box today, we've had talk about Landrum, about River Bluff, you name it. Harrison here says Chapin had a pretty good spring, but here's the comment that I want to highlight for us right here. Okay. Greg says, NA owns something. We have a lot of work to do, Smitty. But you guys listening out there have a lot of work to do too, because message boards will also be a part of FourQuarterFriday.com, and you'll have an opportunity to rep your school and talk a little smack just like that, Craig. We appreciate you jumping in there. NA owns Strom Thurmond.
All right, so we know where you're from, Craig. We know where you're staying.
Exactly. And that's
where you stand.
You guys jump in there and chop it up with us on the message boards. It's more than reporting, it's more than news, it's more than highlights. It's a community, and we want you to be a part of that.
Now, what is going to set FourQuarterFriday.com apart. And everybody may not know our stories. I'm from this state. Rob is from this state. And when you live in South Carolina the way that we have our whole lives, you pick up all of these, it's like all of these schools have little identities. Coaches have identities. Everybody, you know, that follows high school sports, they've got strong opinions about the rival. And all of that doesn't really have a place because so much of what is done, I'm not going to call anything out, but it's like you can go find information about high school sports. When you try to do that, it doesn't have the personality behind what really happens, like what we see in our chat box. We're going to try to lend the personality to it. I mean, Rob, you played at Union County. I had a lot to say about Union County. Not going to say it here, but I think we all know what people from Union County are like. And I went to Dorman, and Rob knows what people from Dorman are like. And that personality, all of that, kind of the subtext, is going to have a place on FourQuarterFriday.com because we're not just like going to, as you said, report on what happens. We're from here. And the fact that we're from here and the people watching right now and are going to visit those message boards are from here means that we all have a shared interest. So we got to get out of here, Rob. Final thought from you. Maybe we've got commitments coming up this week that people can follow on the Morning Minute.
That's it. The main one would be Amari Patterson tomorrow, so that's something definitely to keep an eye on. And we're gonna keep an eye on not just the football commits, but you got some baseball players that are kind of committing right now. Again, Luke Thompson this morning staying in state at USC Sumter, so we'll continue to keep an eye on those as well. Baseball field, football field, you commit, we're gonna talk about it.
All right. Thanks for everybody for being a part of the chat today. That is Rob Williams. I'm Matt Smith. FourQuarterFriday.com happening July 1st. It drops the first of next month. Inside the Gamecocks is next on the Chief Sports Network.